Morning, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Sean Putnam, and this is my second time ever doing this. So I'm not the, a regular speaker here or anything by that means. So I just want to let you know that right up front. And another thing that I wanted to clear up is, if I say something today and you say, geez, I think he's full of crap, I'm here to tell you this morning, my nerves, I'm not, okay? Perfectly clean of that. So if you have them kind of problems, you should see Pastor Steve, and he, maybe you can sign up to preach. And, it's healthy, right? No pills. You fellowship with the Lord all week, getting ready. It's really good. Another thing on that I think I got a revelation, I said, God, empty me of what I want to say, of my agenda, right? And then I end up in the toilet all morning. So my revelation is, all our fleshly desires reside in the bowel. And God's are in the heart, right? What a difference. So, if you didn't, right there is wisdom. So I take part in the Bible study with Doug Campbell. It's a leadership study, and that's one of the reasons why I get this opportunity. And so when I agreed to speak today, Doug kind of said, pick something that we're learning. And when we were learning on First Principles book 2, Passing on Your Beliefs, and we got to part where it was titled The Family and Community Life. And scripture passage was Titus 2, 1 to 9. And it talked about, older women teach younger women. Talked about older men teaching younger men. And then us sharing as part of a community so that we don't make the same mistakes, all of us individually. And that was... It was really on my heart, and I kind of felt ripped off because I've gone through a lot of things in my life, and, I'd have to say I live and learn. That's how God teaches me. And, I don't think that we're supposed to live and learn everything, that we should actually take some advice from our elders, and our friends. And we should watch them. And they should share with us what is going on in their lives and what God's doing so that we don't all have to just go through the whole thing. And so I felt really convicted on that. But what happened was, like I said, we got to change this. Because we all live individually. And we struggle to live as a Christian community and a church family. And we've been getting better at it because I think that's what God's pushing us to. But our generations, we don't know what that looks like because it wasn't modeled for us, a lot of us anyway. There might be some people here that have been. I'm going to speak from, where I come from, where, I came from a good home. Mom and Dad were great. And, I came to know the Lord at 18. Just like a year or two after my mother or whatever. And so I got a lot of the world in me before that time. And I never learned what a Christian community looks like. And so I said, and we said as a group, we said, this has got to change. We've got to make a difference. If we don't make a difference, then our kids are going to do the same thing, right? And we're starting to see that in our kids in this church where you know, they turn to God at 10 years old, right? Like my daughter, Friday was going to a doctor's appointment, and she was nervous. And I told her, I said, don't be afraid. I said, fear is not from the Lord, it's from the enemy. I said, he just wants to get you all worked up because we're going to go and get you some help that you need. And this is only his opportunity right now till we get there. So he's going to hammer you all he can. So she says, oh, I feel like singing. I feel like singing. But I'm afraid to sing. And Leisha and I said, well, you're afraid to sing in front of us? Don't be afraid to sing. And, well, she said, I just feel like singing to God. And so she started singing. I'm getting off on a rabbit trail already. This wasn't in here. But this is good. Anyway, she started singing. And she was singing her own song to God. And she got done, and she said, man, I feel good. And I said, you know why? Because Satan doesn't like it when you're singing praises to God. He's got to get out of here. And it made a total difference in her life, right? She's 10 years old. She's hearing that. We're passing things down. I didn't know that until I was 35, right? It took a long time. Where am I here? Oh, okay. So, it ended up burdening me. And I kind of felt a little overwhelmed about it. And I thought, here's one more thing I got to get into my life. I don't know how to do it, right? You know, I've been trained by the world to leave God's grace and goodness, you know, out of my life. And it's really hard to get back into that. Or to actually get it fit into our life. What God's been kind of convicting me in this is, you know, and it's through our Bible studies, is, you know, to take time each day as a family and get together and praise God and share, you know, our struggles and what God's taught us and read His Word and you know, get this. Make our kids realize that this is the most important thing we could ever do, instead of, you know, like it's work and all the other things that take up our time. And so I was really convicted of that. And the other thing that I couldn't believe is, and there's probably people here, families here, that people actually do that. There's families that actually do that. They every day they get together and they sing praises to God. And they read the Bible with their kids, and they fellowship together and learn together, and they show their kids, you know, what it really means to love God. So I was really been convicted of this, and I don't know how to do it. So like I said, it started to put this weight on me. And so I started talking to God about it. And that's when God said, just whoa. Listen to me. I told you this before. If you strip all this stuff away from the Christian life, all these, this is what you do, this is things that I want, what do you get? And I said, my relationship with you. He said, yeah, it's exactly what you get. And then he said, how well do you know me? Am I first in your life? Do you know what it means for you when I say, I adopted you? You're my child. Are you aware of the blessings and the promises I have made available to you being a child of my family? Are you living in them? See, we need to understand who we are and our Heavenly Father and what that means before we can make any of that happen. And so God didn't want me to come up here and say, we got to do more community. Because you know what we would do? I got to do it. And we get burdened down and we get burnt out. And I knew if I couldn't, you know, if I was going to feel burdened from it, I'm sure a lot of you guys would too. So this is when, you know, we all know that scripture, Matthew 11, 28 to 30, if we could bring that up. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And God said to me, he said, you look at your life through that and you tell me, are you living the Christian life? Are you drawing off of me, or are you on your own? Because I would say, I already came. Why am I weary and burdened, right? It's because I'm not yoked up with Jesus. So I don't know. I think most of us in here probably know what a yoke is, and there's one right there. So put a head in each one of them loops, and then you can hook your wagon or whatever, or plow or whatever, to that ring. And then two oxen get to pull and do the work. And I had this scripture verse at the end, but I got to bring it in at the beginning, and it's 1 Corinthians 2:14, and it's oh, look at that, I didn't mess Vicky up. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So if we go back to the picture of the yoke, does that look like freedom to any of us? No, it's foolishness. To us, complete foolishness. And you know that scripture verse says it's to the spirit man. Or no, what did it say? Let's go back to that for a second. So the natural man, yeah, our natural man it's foolishness to him. So When I look at that and I say, yeah, I'm going to get yoked up with somebody, I mean, that means you got to go to work. It doesn't sound like it's going to be easy, right? Well, that's the beginning of realizing that we're actually getting it, is when it's foolishness to our natural man. That's when we should realize that God's speaking to us. The other thing that I wanted to say was, you know, I stood up here and I said I had a conversation with God. The Holy Spirit's in us, and he's a still, quiet voice. And if we don't take time to quiet down and get alone with God, we're not going to hear it. And so we're bombarded with lots of voices. Most of them are loud, and they put us down and make us hurry and everything else. That's all the enemy. Like God is love. He's going to talk to us loving. That conversation that I had with him there, he wasn't mean about it. He just brought it to my attention in a loving way. It wasn't a put down. So if we could go to the next picture. I think that this is the way that I run my life most of the time, is with just my own and no help. And we'll have the next slide. And this is the way that Jesus intended it to be viewed, and his head is going in the other hole. And the other thing that I think that we need to realize when it comes to this is God's got a billion of them, because we're all different. We're not going to put on. I'm not putting Aaron's yoke on, right? He has one for me and him, and it fits me, and it doesn't hurt, and I'll enjoy being in it. So that's a revelation that I think that we need to realize, right? Like he's talking to us individually. I want rest for my soul. I gotta take this serious, and I gotta really look into my relationship with Jesus and my Heavenly Father. So what stops us from having that relationship? I think it's a couple things. One of them is we don't trust God, so we're not going to yoke up with him, right? And I think that we probably heard lots of messages on that, you know. We got to trust God. How do you trust God? Well, you step out and you start doing something with them, and then you get to realize hindsight for us is 20/20. We can't see, a lot of us can't see spiritually, we can't see going forward, but we can see going back. The only way we can get stuff behind us is we start doing something with the Lord, right? So we can look back and we can see his goodness and what he's doing in our lives. But I think the number one thing that stops most of us from linking up with God is we don't believe that he likes us. How could he? Right? Like we hear, you know, that God loves us. Actually, I'll go through, I might as well go through a few of these verses. John 15:9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Right? Romans 5:8. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 4:16, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. First John 1:5, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. See, I didn't really believe that one. You know, I was like a lot of people and blamed God for a lot of things that I brought on my own stupid foolishness, bad decisions. The more I study and think about, learn about God, you know, like these verses all say, he's love. There's no darkness in him. He loved us before any of us did anything. So he died on the cross for us before we did anything. And yet now we accept that. We believe he loves us, but I don't think we believe he likes us. So we need that verse where it says that while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us, and realized that what we do doesn't matter. He died for us, and we were at our worst. You know? And the only way that we can get through this life and this Christian life and to live it right is to get in the yoke and trust Jesus and believe that our Heavenly Father loves us and likes us, and he's happy with us just the way we are. Because he wants to get us in the yoke. He wants to live life with us and bring us freedom from all these things, all these things that we've learned from the world and that the enemy tells us. So when I was searching and praying and everything, and I came across this book. It says, Your Best Life in Jesus' Easy Yoke. And then the subtitle is Rhythms of Grace to De-Stress and Live Empowered. It's written by Bill Goetsche, PhD. He's a psychiatrist. So he says in this book, he says, what's one word you would use to describe Jesus? Maybe just shout out a few different words that would describe Jesus. Yeah. Did you ever think of this one? Relaxed. We don't think of that one, do we? I want to read a little bit out of this book, and I hope it doesn't put you to sleep, because I know I shouldn't probably be reading to you. But anyway, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be loud or something. In chapter 1, we were surprised to see Jesus is relaxed. Let's connect further with the Lord's non-anxious presence. This is the key to lasting peace. Jesus had far and away the most important and dangerous human mission. Do we agree to that? And he had to wait 18 years to begin working on it. And then he had just 3 years of public ministry to fulfill it. And yet Jesus was relaxed. That struck me. Our master needed to convince a large number of people that although he was a human being like them, he was also the unique Son of God. His followers needed to be so confident in him that they'd be willing to suffer and die for him. And yet Jesus was relaxed. Jesus had to leave cities full of people that needed more ministry from him. And yet Jesus was relaxed. Jesus' family rejected him and his message. Many of his disciples deserted him. Even his faithful followers didn't really understand who he was and right up to his death, and yet Jesus was relaxed. Our Lord had no rest from being stressed by Satan, demons, wicked kings, contemptuous Pharisees, wealthy snobs, raging mobs, seductive prostitutes, flattering psychopaths, party animals, and fickle friends, and yet Jesus was relaxed. Jesus was tempted to sin in all the same ways that we are, and he experienced all of our weaknesses and painful emotions, and yet Jesus was relaxed. The fate of the humankind for all times depends on the Messiah successfully completing his gospel mission. And yet Jesus was relaxed. Jesus was crucified on a cross. He was tortured by enemies, abandoned by friends, and insulted by passersby. He became a sin offering for us, and yet Jesus was relaxed. When I have a big responsibility, this is him talking about himself now, I sometimes start taking charge to make things happen. When I have lots to do, I tend to hurry. When I'm stressed and anxious and feeling Feelings may grip. When I'm feeling stressed, anxious feelings may grip me. When I am criticized or rejected, I might react by feeling bad about myself or getting angry. When I'm in terrible pain, I have difficulty being loving to others. How did Jesus remain at peace when he was under overwhelming stress and pain? How can you or I be more at ease? Our Savior practiced what he preached. His holiness wasn't automatic because he was the Son of God. He chose to live in the same grace yoke that he offers to us. He was the first disciple. He apprenticed himself to the Father as a child and throughout his life, learning to live out the things he would later teach us. It's important for us to appreciate the mysterious reality that the Son of God, our sinless Lord, he grew. He learned many things about living a divine life in a human body, like how to continually submit to God, God's will, only saying and doing what was in concert with the Father. That's what he kept saying, right? Pray without ceasing. Remain so dependent upon the Holy Spirit as to be filled with his presence and power without limit. Bless those that cursed him. Being relaxed in his Abba Father's arms of love, even when stressed in pain or being mistreated by enemies, is what enabled Jesus to love others perfectly and to fulfill all the lofty words that we use to describe him. Isn't that cool? I never really thought of it that way, but now that you hear it, it's like, exactly. What word describes you? That's you. What word describes you? Is it relaxed? What happens when you get stressed by situations? Do you feel overwhelmed or anxious? Do your problems cause you to worry? When you're challenged, do you strain to make things turn out right? When people look at you, do you try to show them your ideal self? Do you pressure yourself to do what seems best or right? When you have big responsibilities, do you try hard and then try harder? If our answers are yes to these questions, we aren't in the yoke of the Lord's sovereignty. That's hard to hear. Because we're sure with all our hearts that Jesus is Lord. And we want him to be in charge of everything that concerns us. But our problem is we haven't trained our bodies to stay in the yoke, so we miss out on its ease and effectiveness. If we aren't yoked to Jesus, we may be yoked to success, pleasing people, gossip, pornography, sports, showing the world of Facebook how perfect our life is. These all prove to be unsatisfying. When we are truly yoked to the Lord, all our desires and endeavors are rightly ordered as expressions of our love for God. Galatians 5:1. I think I had that one. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. It's foolishness to me. I get to read another passage out of this. It's about grace, and I just couldn't believe how he put it, so I couldn't put it in my words. I just wanted to use his. But Jesus' yoke is a grace yoke. Listen to his easy yoke gospel. He says, come to me. I want to help you to carry your burdens. Don't pull that heavy load in your own strength. Enter into the harness with me. Let me show you how to pull the plow across the field and get the work done. in a good and relaxed way. Walk with me and work with me. Look straight ahead and keep in cadence with me. We'll step together easily and lightly. We'll smile in the Father's love as we bless people in need. Grace isn't passive. The Father and Son intimacies and knowledge with their unformed, forced rhythms of grace are for you too. But God's grace is not a passive thing. This is so important because it's going to take work for us to stay in the yoke. We've got to train ourselves. The Holy Spirit doesn't zap people into Christ-likeness through inspiring sermons. God does not leap off the pages of the Bible and make people be loving disciples of Jesus. Commonly, we say that grace is unmerited favor. That's true, but it doesn't tell us where grace is nor how it relates to our life today. We tend to limit God's grace to our need for forgiveness of our sins so we can go to heaven when we die. Of course, that is essential, but grace is more than that. It's for all of life. Grace is God acting in our lives generously and powerfully to do what we cannot do on our own. I'm going to read that over again. Grace is God acting in our lives generously and powerfully to do what we cannot do on our own. Doesn't sound mean, does he? God acts and we respond. God's hand reaches out to us and we take hold. The Lord leads us and we follow him. It's up to us to interact with and rely upon God's favor and mercy in all that we do. Just as much as it is true that, and this is really cool what he says here, apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. John 15:5, paraphrased. So also it's true that if you do nothing, it's apart from Jesus. We need to understand that grace is not opposed to effort. It's opposed to earning. Man, that's well said. Earning is an attitude of pride and self-sufficiency. So grace isn't opposed to effort, it's opposed to earning. And earning is an attitude of pride. You guys hear that? And self-sufficiency. But effort has to do with taking appropriate action. Jesus teaches that to get into this grace yoke, we need to learn from him by walking with him and working with him. Remember, his analogy is that we're in a yoke, walking in stride together as we pull a plow across the field. Being active in God's grace may seem like a contradiction to salvation by faith alone, but it's not. Peter tells us, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in 2 Peter 3:18. So that's something that takes action, right? And similarly, the writer Hebrews teaches us to make every effort to enter God's rest, Hebrews 4:11. Instead of trying harder and pushing to make things happen for ourselves, we can learn to put our effort into relying on Christ with us, listening to him and following his lead step by step. This is the good news gospel. This is the truth we can know through interacting with the grace of Christ and thereby be set free from the burdensome cycle of trying hard, feeling guilty, and trying harder, getting exhausted and discouraged. So that's all I'm going to read out of this book, but kind of the key here in this last paragraph was we can learn to put our effort into relying on Christ. It's not, grace isn't passive. Jesus' yoke is easy, but getting into it and staying into it is not. This is where 1 Corinthians 2:14 kicks in for me. Because getting into that yoke and staying into it doesn't make sense to me. Because I have to say, I have to get up in the morning and say, God, I want to go get in your yoke and I want to stay in your yoke today. And I have to go through actions like that that doesn't work anywhere else. I feel stupid. I'm realizing that we get in the yoke by praying and talking to God. And we stay in it by talking with him throughout the day and keeping him the first thing in our minds and our hearts. And I can't do that with my hands. I feel like I'm like faking something, you know? But hindsight's 20/20, so I can fake it for a while till I get it. This message started out to be about community. Now it ends up being about me getting in Jesus' yoke. But I can't do community the way God wants me to do it unless I'm in Jesus' yoke. And when I look at Matthew and I look through that verse, I'm not in it. So God wants me to start practicing on getting in and then staying in. And it's a spiritual thing. I can't see it. I can't use my hands for it. And it's foolishness to me. I wrote 3 different endings. And I wrote them all on my own, I think, because I think God gave up about there. I was in the shower this morning and I was like, we gotta get this finished. And this is the still small voice that you don't need to bother writing it, you already have it. When that still small voice talks, it makes your eyes water. I have trouble seeing God as my Heavenly Father. I'll pray to Him and say, Lord. But when I started looking into this, when God asked me to, I started to try it, and I'd start out, Dear Dad. I'd be like, I can't do this. This doesn't feel right. It's foolishness to me. But that's what God wants. Said, Our Father who art in heaven. And supposedly, if you know all the Greek and that, that's Abba Father, which is Papa. or dad. I think I'm going to have trouble until I get that right. Can we bring that prayer up there, Vicky? This is A. Yeah, A and then B. It's all one prayer. I started praying this prayer. I got it out of that book. And I think it puts the yoke on me every day. I got the copies if anybody else wants to give it a try. So we're not going to pray it just yet. We're going to read down through it. So, Jesus, I love you. Father, I adore you. Holy Spirit, I rely on you. See the title? The Apprentice Prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for your cross. Thank you, Father, for your eternal love. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence and power. Holy Trinity, I praise you. Lord Jesus, you're my teacher. I seek to live as your apprentice in all that I do today. My life is your school for teaching me, and I relinquish my agenda for this day, and I submit myself to you and your kingdom purposes. In all situations, I abandon outcomes to you, praying your will, your way, and your time. Dear Father, I ask you to ordain the events of this day and use them to make me more like Jesus. I ask and trust you, Sovereign Lord, that you won't let anything happen to my family or me today, except that it passes through your loving hands. So no matter what problems, hardships, or injustices I face today, help me not to worry or get frustrated, but instead to relax in the yoke of your providence. Yes, today I will rejoice because I am in your eternal kingdom, and you love me, and you are teaching me. My Creator and Redeemer, I devote my whole self to you. I want to be all and only for you, Jesus. Today I love you with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength, and all my relationships. Today I depend on you, Holy Spirit, not on my own resources. Help me to keep in step with you. Today I look to love others as you love me, dear God, blessing everyone I meet, even those who mistreat me. Today, I'm ready to lead people to follow you, Jesus. Amen. So, I think that covers a lot that God asks us, and I think it puts our mind and our hearts in the right place to get in the yoke and to stay in the yoke. Yes, God likes you. He likes you right the way you are. And believe it or not, you put this thing around your neck, you're set free. Pretty foolish. I'm going to close in prayer. I'm going to practice calling God Dad, which is very, very awkward. If I truly believed and had a relationship with our Heavenly Father the way I should, my father died 21 years ago. I don't have a father, and yet on Father's Day, I did not say to God, Happy Father's Day. And that whacked me right between the eyes because I was thinking, think you got a relationship with him? I don't think so. Not the one you should. Oh my goodness, Dad. Thank you for being in my life. Thank you for wanting to be my father. Thank you for all your wisdom and knowledge and your insight and understanding of how we need to live in this world. and that you want the best for me. You want the best for my family, kids, this church family, and all of us in this world. So much so that you adopted each and every one of us that give our hearts to you, Son. Believe in him. Help me to really truly know what that looks like. What I can rely on and know. Get excited about it. Tell people. Help me to get this right in my life, Lord, so that I can walk in this community the way you want me to. There I am calling the Lord again. Dad. You are the Lord of my life. I want you to be my Father as well. Pray your blessing over each of us and you would help us to stay in your yoke today, just for today, and tomorrow, help us again. Help us to each get to know your love for us and your will for us, so that we can come together and support one another the way we should be able to overlook one another's issues and problems and be able to support one another in them. And we could all have somebody to show us empathy and guide us and teach us. And that it would just a light burden, and that it would become something that's natural to us. Lord, Dad, I thank you for everything. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen.